Welcome to the Educause podcast. I'm Jerry Bain for Educause. You can find our podcasts at www.educause.edu/podcasts, or you can search for Educause on iTunes. This podcast features an interview from the 2009 Colorado Learning and Teaching with Technology Conference. My conversation is with Mark Gammon, academic technology consultant for the University of Colorado at Boulder. We discuss Web 2.0 tools in the classroom from both a faculty and student perspective. I wanted to start by asking you, what are some of these social media tools out there for instructors to use? And why is it important for educators to establish a social media presence?
Mm-hmm. In terms of technologies, I mean, certainly there are a huge range. And for me, you know, at least my perspective is that I think the technologies are important in knowing what the possibilities of the technologies are. But I think, you know, people often can get lost too, and there's so many possibilities, so many technologies. How can I stay on top of them? And so, you know, part of it, I think, is as an instructor or as a faculty member, really clarifying what are your goals and objectives? You know, what are you trying to achieve? And then figuring out, is there a social media tool that might be helpful in achieving that, rather than saying, oh, here's the hot new tool. I should figure out how to use this in my teaching. So kind of the other way. But, you know, certainly common technologies that people are thinking about or kind of exploring or that come up over and over again are social networking tools like Facebook, MySpace, despite them being somewhat problematic sometimes in the classroom or for educational use. Things like Ning as a social networking tool. Increasingly, things like Digo, social bookmarking, wikis, I think are still really popular and important. So I'd say some of those are big ones. Am I missing out anything really important?
Twitter, obviously.
Yeah, Twitter and, you know, YouTube, any of the kind of video options as well. Yeah, Twitter, that was the one I was trying to think of.
I'd like to actually ask you about Twitter. There seems to be a real love-hate relationship with Twitter. Like, you either love it or you can't stand it. And what's your outlook for Twitter? And could you give any examples of how it's being used in the classroom?
Yeah, I mean, Twitter, certainly the social media buzz of the moment. I mean, along with Facebook probably, but in terms of just getting lots of attention, Twitter's in its moment, I think, right now. So, but I have, you know, I have mixed feelings with it, too. I told the story yesterday in the workshop that, you know, I got on Twitter early, probably 4 or 5 months after it first came out, and I was teaching a course, and I talked to my students about it, and of 45 students in my course, none of them had even heard of it. This was spring 2007, and I was using it a little bit, but, you know, there just wasn't a whole lot going on yet, and I didn't find it very, very interesting to follow, and I thought, this could be interesting, but it's not really doing a lot for me, so I kind of stopped using it for a while. Then I started up with it again, got really into it for a couple months, and then kind of petered out again, and then later this winter, kind of picked it back up again, and then really got more involved with it. And, you know, it came up yesterday in my sessions a couple of times, people saying, you know, I don't really get Twitter. Why would I want to use it? What does it offer that, you know, can I do this on Facebook? I'm already on Facebook. Why would I be on Twitter? It just seems like, I think the term people use is you're getting the headline without any more information. So I certainly feel that from people, that there's a sense of I don't really get the Twitter thing. But for me, the value of Twitter has come from following really good people. I think often people get on Twitter, they're not sure who to follow. They may not know the whole process of filtering and searching and finding topics that are interesting and then finding who's talking about that topic and then trying to hook in with those people. So for me, it's the relevance, right? It became really valuable to me when it became relevant. And the relevancy came through finding people who spoke or had interests that were similar to mine and we could share information and they were interested in what I was doing and they would post links that seemed really interesting to me. And being able to find people I didn't know, who I might know by reputation or follow, you know, these are the 100 best faculty members to follow on Twitter. And, you know, so that kind of way really started to make it interesting for me. In terms of, you know, how people are using it, I mean, it's certainly been used, I think, for trying to generate in-class discussion. I know there's a YouTube video and a pretty popular story that came out this spring about a professor at UT Dallas who was using it in a classroom of about 90 students. And there's a YouTube video you can see of kind of a little compilation of her class process, and she's written some best practices. But I think for her, it was really about, you know, 90 students, how can I get them to be more interactive in the classroom, get more students to talk rather than just the ones who feel comfortable talking. And so she really uses it as a way for students to post questions, to engage in discussions, and they'll put it up on the screen. If students don't have an account or they don't feel comfortable posting, they can handwrite it and the TAs will post it for them. And it sounds like it's been really useful in that the TAs have been able to go through on the weekends and kind of follow up with questions that may not have gotten addressed in the classroom. And the students, I think, really have felt like it gave voice to a lot more information, a lot more discussion than again, a lot of people who weren't comfortable talking in class maybe wouldn't feel more comfortable posting on Twitter.
I don't mean to make a laundry list of this, but could you go through the other real hot item of the moment, which is Facebook, obviously?
Yeah.
In terms of how people might be using that. One thing that's interesting is it seems to be about connecting with your friends and family. It doesn't seem to have the what a lot of social media is, which is creating new relationships.
Yeah. Yeah, and in fact, I've heard that same kind of statement. I think it was stated that on Facebook, I am friends with or follow the people who I already know. And Twitter is where I go to find new people or people I don't know. Mm-hmm. And so kind of, you know, expanding out differently than you do within Facebook. So yeah, I think, you know, the thing about Facebook and education that I think some people are running into and seems to be a pretty consistent buzz that I hear both from students and from instructional technology people and from teachers is that there's a real sense that Facebook is a social space for students, and most or a lot of students are already on Facebook, have already established kind of their network with friends, peers, people they might have had summer camps with, you know, that kind of experience. And then it's really tricky to try to come in and make that an educational space or ask them to participate, you know, educationally with a faculty member or with a class in that same space where they see it as really being sort of their social space, where they're connecting with friends they've known for a long time or family and keeping up that way. So I do think that's the real challenge with Facebook. I mean, a lot of people are on it, a lot of people are using it, feel comfortable in it, and it has such a great range of possibilities. There's so many tools, there's so many new things coming on about Facebook. But I think the real challenge for educators is going to be figuring out how to navigate that sense that people are already on there and thinking about it in a particular way. And so asking them to friend their professor, and then what happens when you are friends with your professor, you know, can be a little tricky. So some folks are using it in lots of different ways, though. Still, I think whether that's asking students to do more things on Facebook on their own and not necessarily, you know, kind of overseeing that as a faculty member, as a professor, asking them to be doing more peer-related things on there that might work. Study abroad. I think when people travel and feel like they can post pictures about their experience, kind of have a group on Facebook that is a place where they can share their study abroad experience, I know has worked. But it's a little tricky, I think, because of the social platform that it is for a lot of people who are already on it.
Definitely.
Yeah. And what I've found is that a lot of people respond to Ning as an option, mm-hmm. because Ning, you know, you can create it as your own network that can be for the class, and you can build in a lot of the features that you want to use that might be part of Facebook groups. You can have discussion boards, you know, and so that allows you to create a social network for your class and ask, you know, invite students to join that rather than asking them to take their Facebook and try to make that, you know, kind of shoehorn the Facebook into the class.
Let's get back to something you said earlier, which I've actually heard several people say in interviews I've done. The idea that as an instructional technologist, you don't want instructors coming to you saying, I need technology in my classroom. You want to have some sort of need you're filling, mm-hmm. specifically, not technology for technology's sake.
Exactly.
So what do you say to people who aren't familiar or savvy with these tools, but would like to see if they would fit into their discipline or their classroom? Obviously, they can begin using the tools on their own, but in terms of thinking about their courses and the technologies, what advice would you have in terms of trying to connect those things and think about them maybe in a different way?
Yeah, that's
the $64,000.
Yeah, exactly. Because, you know, you sort of get in this chicken or egg thing, which is that if you don't know the technologies at all and what the possibilities might be, then it's hard to think outside and think, oh, I can utilize it for this way. And so, but then if you get too stuck in the technologies, then you're just trying to build the technology for the technology's sake, or, you know, you start teaching to the technology rather than having the technology really supplement or enhance or, you know, add new options to what you're trying to accomplish. accomplish. So I do think it's a combination. I think you have to, you know, try to explore or try to, you know, use your resources as much as you can in terms of finding out from people who have done maybe concrete things in social media and say, you know, that what seems to help a lot with faculty is, yeah, I know about Facebook, or yeah, I hear about Twitter because people read it all the time and there is a lot of hype, i.e. the hype, but thinking really concretely about, okay, so then what are educators doing with this? Because I know that these things exist and that people are using them a lot, but, you know, sometimes really concrete examples, like being able to go watch the 6-minute video and see how this faculty member used Twitter in her classroom in sort of a concrete way, hear what students had to say about that. So I think as there's more and more people who start to, you know, maybe are the kind of early adopters or cutting edge people start to implement a little bit, then the folks who are looking for some concrete examples can find some of that. But I think as an instructional technologist, you can try to get the word out about possibilities, get people to at least, you know, either sign up or, you know, sit with them and kind of walk through some options. But as you do that, you know, kind of instead of getting them to be really involved with the technology, just kind of keep asking them, so what, you know, what are you trying to accomplish? Is there something in your teaching that's not working that you want some new ways to think about might work? Is there something that you're not doing that you want to try to do? And then let's see if social media might be able to help with that. So, you know, I think it's just a constant kind of exposure, right? But then stepping back from the technology and saying, well, let's not get lost, you know, with all the things Ning might do. What are you trying to accomplish? And then, okay, this might work for that. Or no, I think actually Twitter wouldn't be good for this. Maybe something else. Mm-hmm. That's the trick, I think, and I think as more and more people start to test it out and there is some concrete examples, that helps.
Let's look at it from the student perspective. You've got things like YouTube, mm-hmm. people trying to incorporate more multimedia into their classes, and not just consuming multimedia, but creating multimedia, using Facebook, using Second Life. Mm-hmm. What about the learning curve that's built into some of these technologies?
Yeah, it's one of the pieces that I tried to cover in both of the workshops, or at least talk about, is, you know, what are the new literacies that need to, that our, you know, students are bringing to campus that we need to think about as educators, are, you know, both assumptions about access to technology, which is part of that, and then also the training or the support for being able to use the technology, because, you know, not all students come to campus with the same ability to have access to technology and or the background to use it as we might think. And those are also literacies that faculty members or instructors are going to have too, right? Mm-hmm. Especially if they're implementing something in the classroom. If they're not the tech expert, they're still going to get those questions because, you know, it's coming from them that we're building into the classroom. So students will often come to them with questions. So it is a whole new set of literacies. And I think it's a tricky thing because you're asking faculty members who aren't educational technologists to really take on some role of at least doing some support for students. Or institutions are going to have to think about, are we going to offer some other options there? Because, yeah, it's, you know, if you're going to start with something brand new, even if the students know how to use it, you know, when you think about asking them to apply it in a very particular kind of way, that takes some training, some setting of expectations. But in the same right, I think that part of what's interesting about social media is that you can, as an instructor, move some of that responsibility away from yourself and ask students to do more peer-to-peer work. And that's part of the value of social media, I think, is so you can ask them to set expectations about how technology is going to be used in the classroom, you know, set expectations or at least ask questions about people's comfort level, what do they need, and then, you know, put people in groups and ask them to teach each other. And that's part of the process, you know, that's part of the learning. So it's the content, but then also, you know, the skill set of how to use these technologies, which I think is an important part of preparing students to go out into the world where these technologies, these kinds of, you know, skill sets are going to be drawn upon or they're going to be asked to do. And so I do think thinking about the learning process of figuring out the technologies, learning how to use them, learning how to apply them, learning how to critically evaluate the information that comes through social media are really great skills that are going to be lifelong kind of skills that people will need as they move into, you know, the real world.
Is there anything we haven't covered that you maybe experienced yesterday or today, questions you got, something interesting that you'd like to share?
You know, just in terms of asking people, was this useful? Was this not useful in terms of the workshop and the presentation? The sense I think I got was that, because, you know, again, the social media stuff is so much out there. It's in the newspaper almost every day. And as somebody who recently did my dissertation on social mobile technologies, not a day went by that somebody in my life didn't send me a headline of the latest, you know, story. And at some point I was kind of like, okay, stop sending me information because, you know, every day there was some giant new news story that I needed to incorporate. So it gets a bit overwhelming. And I think for some of us who are in social media all the time, I have to really force myself to step back and realize not everybody's in in social media or gets it or knows how to use it. And so what I thought was really useful and maybe is missing often from the social media stuff is everyone says, yeah, you got to get on it. Yeah, you got to get on it. Yeah, it's important. Yes, it's really important. But we don't give people the space to sort of jump in and actually walk them through signing up, kind of give them a sense of like, oh, this is how you post. Or people, I think, hear a lot about, you got to get on it, you got to start using it. But people need some bridging the gap between, yeah, I know that you can do cool things with it, but I don't know how to get there. The other place where I see the gap stuff too, which is, you know, maybe surprising, maybe not, is actually with students who are on Facebook all the time, but then you start to talk to them about some of the really specific things, like, well, have you thought about your privacy settings? And either they haven't thought about it, or when they go in there, they're a little confused about how it actually works. And so, I mean, they could upload videos, you know, upload photos, do all this stuff, and everyone assumes they're so savvy with the technology. But I think they're savvy in parts of it and some of the application, the use stuff. But then there's a whole part of it that they haven't really thought about. Or if they don't use it, they're kind of, oh, I didn't know I should be doing that, or I haven't thought about that. So I think there are still lots of gaps, even if even among the people who we think, you know, are really savvy, the young people.
Well, Mark Gammon, thank you so much for your time.
Hey, appreciate it. Yeah, my pleasure.
Great.
Enjoyed it.
An interview with Mark Gammon, academic technology consultant for the University of Colorado at Boulder. My interview was recorded at the 2009 Colorado Learning and Teaching with Technology Conference. I'm Jerry Bain for EDUCAUSE. Thanks for listening.